Good morning. Welcome to CFC. It's so good to see all of you. I wanted to say if I had to pick a favorite hymn, this first one we're going to sing might be it. It's "To God Be the Glory." I love just singing declarative praise to the Lord to start off a service. So would you stand, and we're going to sing some songs that are declarative praise to our God.
Sorry, I'm not fast enough to get over here. Must be getting older. But good morning, everyone. Welcome to Christian Fellowship Church here on this Sunday, the Lord's Day. It's great to see all of your faces here, a little bit more than normal at 8:15. That's great to see. I'd invite you, if you are visiting with us this morning, to grab one of the Connect cards in the pew back in front of you. We'd love to know that you're here. And also, those of you who are here, whether new or not, we'd love to be praying for you. Our staff meets weekly. We love to pray for the needs of our congregation, whether you reach out to us directly or just write them on these cards. I'd invite you to drop one of these in the offering box or at the church office. Let us know you're here, who you are, and how we can be praying for you. My name is Jason Rohrbaugh, by the way, Minister of Youth here at Christian Fellowship. And I just want to give you a quick update. I thank you. For those who came out to support us last week at the Student Missions or Summer Youth Missions Fundraising Breakfast, it's a long name, but we had this breakfast last week to support what our youth are doing this summer. We're actually taking two missions trips, so we have a lot of work to do in preparation for getting ready for those, and one of the things we did was have this breakfast last week to let you know what we're doing and who's going, so I thank you for your support. We were able to raise over $8,000 that morning at that breakfast, which is the most we've ever raised. And we served about 300 people, plus the 65 of us that were there on these teams. So it was a packed gym, but we actually had room for more. So next year, let's see if we can get more than 300 people served breakfast that morning. But like I said, yeah, we have two missions trips this summer. Involving over 65 people. That includes 50 of our teenagers and over a dozen leaders. So I invite you to please continue praying for us. We do need a lot of prayer. One of our trips, I even am taking seventh graders along to Harrisburg. So we have a lot of young people all the way up to grade 7 or grade 12. And then we have some college students, some youth leaders, and some parents going along on this trip. And thankfully, I'm not the oldest person going this time, so I'm starting to feel young again. But continue to pray for us. Also, financially speaking, we're over half of the way to our goal for Harrisburg, actually about two-thirds of the way, which is awesome, and we're almost halfway to the funds we need for the Belize trip. So as I said, keep praying for us. Also, if you'd like to know more about who we are and what we're doing, if you'd like to pick up one of our prayer cards, or if you would like to continue supporting us financially, we have two tables in the lobby today. You can see up on the screen here that there is an envelope board. So what that is, in the hallway, there's an envelope board. It looks kind of like that. But inside each envelope is an individual prayer card, or two. It's kind of a mystery. For some of our students and leaders that are going on the trip. So if you take one of those envelopes and donate the dollar amount listed on the envelope, you get to pull out a prayer card, and you get to see their face, who they are, where they're from, and why they want to go on the trip, and how you can be praying for that individual student or leader. So I'd invite you to partner with us that way. Also, there is Rent-A-Student, which is a way, if you guys need any chores or things done around the house, or your neighbors, or babysitting, or whatever, you can rent some of our students and then donate towards their missions trip. So I invite you to do that. We have a table out there for you to get that done as well. Also, I'd like to highlight two things happening at our church. Next week is Communion Sunday. So pray that you would be here and prepare your hearts as we observe the Lord's table together. That's next Sunday in both 8:15 and 10:45 services. And then in 2 weeks, on Thursday, May 7th, is the National Day of Prayer. And we're hoping to fill up our church throughout the day with prayer. So we would, there's a sign-up table in the lobby, and we would invite you and your families, or just you as an individual, to come out throughout the day. We have it scheduled from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 12 hours of prayer. So come over to the lobby table and find out more information about that. We'd love to have people here every hour praying. You don't have to pray for an hour, but you're more than welcome to pray for an hour. So check out that table for more information. Speaking of prayer, let's head to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for this day. I thank you for bringing us all here together this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we can worship you and in spirit and in truth. And we thank you we can worship you in song. And as we hear your word read and preached later, Lord, we just pray that we would grow closer to you, that we would apply these truths to our lives, that we are going to hear and sing this morning. Lord, I thank you that we have this place. We have a place where we can gather safely and worship you and fellowship with one another. We thank you for these things, Lord. We thank you most of all for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that you've given to us. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. I think particularly of what I highlighted earlier. Thank you, Lord, so much for the giving nature of this church and the prayerful nature of this church. We thank you from a student ministry. As a youth leader, I thank you for all the support that we receive. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to be behind us and that you would continue to bless us as a youth group, as a church, and as individuals. I pray that we would just prepare our hearts for service well. Lord, I pray for everyone in this church, Lord, that you would be with us, that we would all be on mission for you in life, not just those who go on a youth missions trip or in the summer. We thank you that the team that went to North Carolina 2 weeks ago to help rebuild a home got there and back safely and did a lot of really good work and had a great time in their fellowship and outreaching to some of the HVAC technicians that they ran into and so forth. And Lord, I just pray for those individuals. We thank you that they went down there to do that work. And we just pray for the recovery in that area that would continue. Lord, I think of our church family, and I thank you for the life of Betty Felpo, who passed away this past week, and yesterday we celebrated her life here with a service, and Lord, I just pray for her family, as some may be mourning and just missing her presence, but Lord, we thank you that she knew you as Lord and Savior, and that she is with you now in a much better place. And we take hope in that, and we are encouraged by that. I pray also for anyone else who may have lost a loved one this past week or this past month that I am unaware of. I thank you, Lord, that you are aware of this, that you know all of us. You know us deeply. You counted the hairs on our head. And Lord, you know what we need in life, and that is you. And we pray, Lord, that we would run to you for encouragement, for strength, for our daily sustenance. Lord, we thank you for all that you give to us. We pray, Lord, as we go to in 2 weeks, this National Day of Prayer, Lord, we just pray in our lives that we may be living for you in every way, that we may be a light unto the world around us, that this church would be that, and that ultimately, Lord, that you would even use our nation to be a light, not for anything political or economic necessarily, but for the gospel. We pray, Lord, that we, this church and our nation, would be a light for the working of the gospel, and that you would save souls and continue to do so around the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jason. I love what he just prayed there, that we would be a light to the world, that our lives would be for Jesus. If you're able, would you stand as we continue to sing? We're going to sing Take My Life and Let It Be.
Jesus the Storyteller. What a great, great thing to lean into, who Jesus is and the things that he shared with us to live by, and how awesome that is. Before we step into our story today that Jesus tells, we've got something really exciting to do, and I'm looking so much forward to this. You know, back at our missions Sunday, Dr. Baraka stood up here and told us about the changing face of missions and how it is so important that we see and notice that it's happening better, that we are sending people to go and maybe teach people how to teach other people within their own country. And having people who live there, who know the culture, who speak the language, have them be the ones that are reaching into the country. And so in light of that, actually before that, this has been planned a long time ago, but it's right in line with that. Pastor Matt is going to come up because we have an incredible opportunity here to support and be a part of something that is exactly that. And so, Pastor Matt, just tell them real quick a little bit about what you'll be doing and where you're headed.
Yeah, so I have the opportunity to go to Vietnam each year with a missionary organization called Outreach to Asia Nationals. There should be an insert in your bulletin that speaks a little bit about my trip, but basically we go to, I think it's at least three locations each time we go, and we train pastors and leaders. So probably have the chance to both do kind of an initial training with some new young leaders and then do a kind of more in-depth training with some leaders that have gone through our curriculum a number of times. So I'm really excited. Thank you so much for your support, both in prayer and your financial support. There's information on that card in your pew or in your bulletin with more information on it. But yeah.
Awesome. That is so exciting, Matt. Looking forward to hearing the stories you're going to come back and share on how the impact that you're having. I mean, you think about it, the exponential impact that he is going to have by teaching people who will, once he's not there, be teaching God's word, and how beautiful that is. And so we definitely want to be praying for Matt. And if you have the opportunity and can support him financially, I think there's even a QR code. Is there a QR code or something? There's instructions in there. That'll show you how you can do it, and you can be a part of him and helping him financially. But please definitely be in prayer. And we're going to take a moment right now to pray for Matt as we send him off. How awesome is it that we get to reach into Vietnam through Pastor Matt? So if you just bow your heads and pray with me. God, thank you so much for Matt. Lord, I thank you for just his heart's desire to be a part of this, to be a part of this mission that you've put him on, Lord. And I just pray now, God, that you would just be preparing his heart. Protect him, Lord. Protect him as this time comes, Lord, that his heart would be attuned to what you have for him to do in Vietnam, Lord. And so help us as a church to be loving on Matt and to be praying for him and to be able to support him in any way possible, God, to be a part of what he's going to be doing over there, Lord. I pray you would go before him. I pray that your spirit would be there and working in the hearts of the men that he's going to be teaching, even now, Lord, that their hearts would be opened and being prepared to hear what it is that Matt's got going for him there, Lord, in your name. And so we're going to just ask for your protection, your provision, and, Lord, for you to just give Matt the strength and energy that he's going to need on a trip like this, God. And so we're going to ask all of this in your son's awesome, powerful, holy, precious name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, really excited to hear what Matt's going to come back with. Some good stories, I'm sure, of how God used him over there. Yeah, so we're going to start continue on the series that Pastor Doug started and talking about the stories that Jesus tells and how important these stories are. These stories are used to show us how to live today, right? That's how we look at these. And so we're going to be talking today about loving our neighbor. And so I just have a short little video clip that hopefully will get you guys in the right frame of mind ready to do this. So just check out this clip right here. Thank you.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Feel free to sing along if you want.
Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? My neighbor, I'm glad we're together again.
Some of you are like, aw, that's memories. Some of you are like, that was creepy. And some of you are out there going, who was that guy? I thought about doing it and coming up and throwing the shoes, but not doing it. Our neighbor, right? We're supposed to love our neighbor. That's the message that we get. And how do we do that? How do we love our neighbor? But more importantly, who is our neighbor, right? So before we get into that, we need to understand why Jesus is actually telling this story. In Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to be resting today. So if you want to, you can turn into your Bibles. The scriptures will also be on the screen behind me. I'm reading from the ESV. But Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25, it says, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And so this lawyer, behold, a lawyer stood up." This lawyer, you got to understand who he is, right? He is most likely a lawyer of Mosaic law. He was the guy who knew Scripture inside and out. He was the one who would defend Scripture and question anytime anybody started talking about Scripture. It's kind of what his life was. That's who he was. And he decides, "I'm going to put Jesus to the test." And he says to him, "All right, so this word test, right? He wants to see if Jesus, because he calls him teacher, he's not recognizing him for who he really is, the Son of God. He wants to see if Jesus can even answer these questions. He wants to know if he can speak to what it is. So what does Jesus do? He answers the question with a question. What is written in the law? Because Jesus knows who this guy is, and he knows what this guy is doing. He's trying to show himself to be better than Jesus. He's trying to puff himself up so he can say, look at what I know. Do you know it, right? And so he asks, Jesus says, well, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And then the guy, wanting to really show what his knowledge is, he answers back, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And I think he's probably maybe a little shocked with Jesus' reply, because Jesus is like, good job. You did good, right? He says to him, you have answered correctly. But then he throws out a challenge to this lawyer, this guy who's trying to show himself to be better, this guy who wants to be the person who knows everything in the room, right? He says, do this. Right? And you will live. So you need to go do this now. Well, this guy, that's not his job, right? He's the guy who defends the law. He's the guy who defends the scriptures. And so he doesn't like that idea. He's not liking that Jesus is telling him he has to go do it. He's the one who tells others, right? And so what does he say? But desiring to justify himself, He said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Trying to catch Jesus, right? I love that word that they're trying to justify himself. How often do we, when it comes to sharing the gospel, being about scripture, have to justify ourselves in our hearts and in our minds? That we think we need to make sure that people understand, listen, I have the right to tell you this because I know this information. I study the Bible. I study the scriptures. And that's where our heart may be wrong, right? The lawyer here, his heart's wrong. He wants to justify himself, so he's trying to trip up Jesus. And he says, well, who's my neighbor then? Right? That's his question. And that's why Jesus then goes into the story that he goes into to tell us about loving our neighbor. Luke 10, starting at verse 30. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." So here's this man, most likely a Jewish man. You know, when it talks about the fact that he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, he's walking down this path, and this was a pretty rough path. In fact, this was known to be a place where you could get beaten up and get robbed. And so as Jesus tells this story, he's sharing something that could definitely be truth, right? This is an area that this probably would happen. In fact, it was rare that people would travel alone in this way. They would usually go with pairs because it was such a dangerous way. But so here's this man traveling, and it happens. He gets beat up, he gets robbed, everything gets taken from him, he gets left on the side of the road for dead. And the two people who should be the ones who want to stop and help this Jewish man, they don't, right? They don't stop and help. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and in verse 32, so likewise a Levite was heading down the road. This priest, who was the person who should have been representing God, no. The Levite, a Levite was a temple assistant. They assisted the priests in all of the ministries and the things that the priest did. So quite frankly, he probably should have been the one that was most likely to stop and help and take care of this Jewish man who's laying on the side of the road. They not only don't help, but look at what they do, right? Listen to what they do. "And when they saw him, they passed by on the other side." The Levite, when he came to the place and he saw him, they passed by on the other side. They made a choice. It wasn't that they just walked by him. They made a choice to look at this man who needs help and decide, "I don't even want to get next to that." And they go into the other side and they walk away. It wasn't this lack of just not being involved. It was a literal choice to not help this man. The people who should chose not to. Then comes the despised Samaritan. Verse 33, "But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was." You got to understand this Samaritan and why Jesus would even use a Samaritan in this case. In 722 BC, the Assyrian Empire invaded and they took over the 12 tribes and scattered them around the empire. And they took others captives and scattered them among the Jews. And so there was this mixing going on of all kinds of different races and religions. And through marriage and through the religion, some of the Jews remained faithful to the heritage, and that they were faithful to what they believed and what their faith was in and their spirituality. And they despised the mixed race. They looked at them with disdain because they weren't worthy. And so this Samaritan was truly a despised person by the Jewish people. And so here comes this Samaritan who more than likely would have been treated horribly by the Jewish man who was laying there on the ground, left for dead. And the Samaritan, if anyone, could have maybe the right to look at him and go, too bad for you, sorry, I'm going to walk on. But what happens? That's not what happens. Jesus makes this despised Samaritan the hero of the story. It goes on in verse 33, and when he saw him, he had compassion. You see it? And when he saw him, what did the priest and the Levite do when he saw him? They chose to walk away. What did this Samaritan who was treated poorly by the Jewish people, what did he choose? He chose to have compassion, the exact opposite of the priest and the Levite. The Samaritan reacts the way Jesus would and did do. Listen to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, where Jesus had been preaching and teaching to the crowds. Listen to what happens here. Verse 36, chapter 9. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Here's Jesus seeing the people that need love. They're lost, that need help. And what does he do? He has compassion. The Samaritan comes across this Jewish man left for dead on the ground who needs help. And what does he do? He has compassion for him. You know, this talking about the neighbor, the Samaritan who would have been treated poorly, chooses to love. He chooses to see the Jewish man as a human being made in the image of God. It's important so much. I've gotten to know a lot of you, and I know you've been coming to church for a long time, many of you. And you know the verse, love your neighbor as yourself. You know it. But man, do you understand really, truly who your neighbor is? Do we truly understand who we should be accepting as our neighbor? I have a spoken word I'm going to read to you. It's from a guy named, his name is Pastor Kyle, and he's a pastor in Florida. He actually started out in Philadelphia, and he does a lot of spoken word, which is kind of a rhyming, poetic, kind of a rappish thing. But he talks about this, and the words he uses, man, they are really convicting to me, and I just want to share them with you. It starts out, it says, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Will you be my neighbor? Oh, wait, there's some conditions. You need to line up with my neighbor rendition. You need to line up with my position on the border wall, immigration, prison reform. You see, neighbor, you do not have to look like me, but you have to assimilate and conform to what I think is the norm. And if not, I'll just unfriend you. I'll block you. I'll drop you. A matter of fact, behind your back, you can be sure I'll mock you. But if you do line up with my ideas, well, great. But wait, I need to check your papers, your credit score. And by the way, are you straight? Because honestly, I hate people who are different than me. I don't even talk to half the people in my family tree. Because you know what? They do not even know how to be a good neighbor like me. So what did Jesus mean when he said to love your neighbor as yourself? So many people don't know because their Bible is collecting dust up on the shelf. Luke chapter 10, Jesus was asked a question, who is my neighbor? There is a powerful lesson. His culture, like ours, was full of discrimination. People chose their neighbor by process of elimination. Well, Jesus told this story about this Samaritan that was despised. Two religious leaders walked by and basically compromised. Well, Jesus revised this Samaritan's title to good because he stopped, helped this beat-up Jew like a good neighbor would. Even though their people had beef, and if that Jew wouldn't have been hurt, he might have given that Samaritan grief. So, what we can learn, no matter the politics, lifestyle, or skin color, we can still show the love of Jesus to our neighbor. There's a reason that Jesus uses a Samaritan in this story. Because he is pointing out that we can't just take people that we like. We can't just take people who are like us. We can't just take people who follow Jesus and say, you're my neighbor. We have to be open to everyone being our neighbor. Doesn't matter if they agree with us politically. It doesn't matter if they're gay. We need to love them. It doesn't matter if they're not following Jesus. What we need to do is show them the love of Jesus. That's why Jesus chose a Samaritan to be the good neighbor, because it was someone that wouldn't be. It was someone that, quite frankly, to the Jewish people, couldn't be. And we can't have that. We cannot have that thought process. And that is what Jesus is telling this self-righteous man who is acting self-righteous. Well, who's my neighbor? Jesus is saying, anyone created in the image of God. Anyone. And that would be all. Let us make man in our image. Doesn't say let us make some of the men in our image. Some of the people. It's everyone. Created in the image of God. And listen, this Samaritan, he not only helps. Listen to how he helps. This is a real lesson for us in here. We have to help, but he not only stops, he gets his hands dirty. He gets in there, and he does it. He works. Listen, verse 34, he went to him. He bound up his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. He gave his time, he gave his touch, he gave his transportation, and he gave his treasure. He stopped and gave his time. This man was traveling down the road. He was going somewhere. He had a purpose in what he was doing, but he still stopped. He took the priority, what it was, and said, this is better. This is more of a priority for me. And so he gave him the time, and then he went in. Think about it. This guy was beaten half to death, bloodied. That's not a clean thing to be a part of. It's not like he had a first aid kit on his animal. I'm pretty confident he probably didn't. He just went in there, and he started, and he wrapped up these wounds, and he didn't have a place that he could go wash his hands when he was done, but he didn't care. He did it. And then, remember, he's heading somewhere. He takes the time to put this guy on his own animal and take him to a place where he could heal. Then he pays for the guy's stay. He gives of his treasure. Listen, 2 denarii, that was some serious bucks, man. That was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 to $100 to us, right? That, for them, that equaled 2 days' wages. And he just pulls it out of his pocket and he says, you know what? Take care of this man. But then not only does he say that, he says, take care of this man, and if you need more, I'll give you more when I come back through. Do whatever it takes. We can't just stop with loving our neighbor. We got to get in there. We got to give our time, our talent, and our treasure. Listen, this church is one of the most generous churches I have ever been a part of or known. And it is amazing. And praise God that we are that way. And I thank you for being that way. But it can't stop with just giving our treasure. We have to give our time. We have to give our talents. We got to get our hands dirty. We got to get in there and we got to do it. We got to do it. That's what is talked about here. Jesus then asked the man who was acting out a self-righteous attitude, which of these three was your neighbor? Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? I'm thinking this guy maybe gets knocked down a peg here because he gets the right answer, right? The one who showed him mercy. And here it is, folks. Here it is. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. You go and do likewise. There's this thing in Scripture that gets used, the word kairos. And I believe that God gives us kairos moments. And this would be a kairos moment. This kairos, what it means, there's an appointed time. There's a what's called a chronos moment, and that's just a moment in time. But kairos means this appointed time. I want to know how many times we miss our kairos moment because we're not open to what the Holy Spirit's doing. How many times do we walk down the road and come upon the Jewish man half beaten and just walk by because we don't notice? Or how many times do we just walk by because we don't have the time and we choose to walk by? Folks, God gives us these kairos moments. He puts them in our path. And we have to take advantage of them. The purpose in our lives, to glorify God and to share God. And there is no better way than to share God by giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure and helping people and getting our hands dirty. Our neighbors literally could be our neighbors. Or they could be the person who serves you coffee. Or they could be that annoying person you work with that really irritates you to no end. Or maybe it's the guy who is a homosexual and that offends you. Folks, we gotta love them all. Everyone. Everyone is our neighbor. And we have to give of our time, our talent, and our treasure. That kairos, it's rooted and it gets used in archery. And the kairos moment in archery is right when the arrow pierces the center of the target. We gotta hit the center of the target. Find your kairos moment. Look for them, seek them, and then act. Don't stop, and then walk on the other side. Stop and dig in. We sang the song, Act Justly, Love Mercy, Walk Humbly. Our team sang it for us. We're going to sing it again in a minute. It all comes down to this. What you require of me, love my neighbor as myself and you above all things. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. It all comes down to this. To be your hands and feet, good news to all the world. Oh, the truth will set us free. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Don't miss your kairos moment. First of all, man, if you're in the room today and you don't know Jesus, that's the first step. That's the first step to walking into what God has for you. I would love to talk to you about that if you want to talk about it. You can come up during the song, you can come up after the song. I'll be up front here. Man, let's walk into that relationship. I know that the majority of you have done that. And praise the Lord. But are you seeking a Kairos moment? Do you want to be used by God to be the gospel? Maybe you want to commit to that today. Listen, I know walking up in front of people, it's scary. You're afraid people might be judging you. That man must have a problem. Well, I promise you, if anybody's in here thinking about it, first of all, you need to come up and pray with me. Second of all, people aren't thinking that. They're thinking, praise God, somebody's stepping up and committing to what Jesus is calling them to do. So if you want to come up, man, let's pray about it. Let's walk into Kairos moments together. But as we sing this song, make it your prayer to walk humbly with your God. Please stand and sing. You hear that third verse? In years down the road, we can look back and see what God has done. How exciting is that? That only happens, though, if we go after the Kairos moment. Let's do that. Seek them. Seek others. Find them. Help them. Give them Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus, you being the storyteller that gives us these incredible, incredible things that we can learn and glean to live our life, to bring glory and honor to you. Now, God, I pray that each one of us in this room will step up and do exactly what you've asked of that lawyer. You go and do likewise. Help us to do that, Lord. Show us these moments, and then give us the courage, the strength, and the energy to step into them and be the gospel outside of these doors so that people come to know you, Jesus. We love you. We worship you. And it is in your Son's incredibly powerful, awesome name, the name of Jesus, that we pray these things. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great week. See you next week.